Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper. Just now,
what of a voice was that?
I don't know.
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday feeling, boys. Yay! We're so relieved, aren't we, that it's Friday?
Yes.
Whoo! Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge. Over to you, Lucy.
We began the week with Pat at Harassments, where he hadn't even bothered to turn off the podcast he was listening to before he let her into his kitchen or even asked her what she wanted. She wanted him to do something about Rob. He wanted to listen to his podcast and eat hot cross buns. "I'm up to my eyes in work," he said, buttering another one and starting another game of Candy Crush. Well, who'd have thought it? But oddly enough, the bell ringing thing seems to have worked. Alice's first action was to start spraying 50 quid notes around to all the other grandchildren, and her second was to become entirely obsessed with wills. She's worse than Peggy now. Brian became a little unnerved with the Inquisition and the fact that she kept checking his blood pressure and putting post-it notes on bits of furniture that said, "Alice Carter, finders keepers, losers weepers." Paul went to a craft shop and appears to have bought honeycomb balls. Is that what he said? What the hell are they? He bumped into Linda, who conned him into thinking she was the Andrew Lloyd Webber of Ambridge, as obviously he hadn't been exposed to the mysteries, which was lots of people standing around in a field in dressing gowns, the Canterbury Tales, which was lots of people standing around in a barn in dressing gowns, mumbling incomprehensibly, or every village pantomime ever in which the entire cast walked out the night before the tech rehearsal and had to be pleaded with to return to the production. Paul soon realised that he'd been sold a pup when Linda announced that her idea was cheese. Not wine, just cheese. You can't eat cheese without wine. You eat the cheese to sop up the wine. That's what it's there for. Paul said, "That's not very gay, is it? Let's do everyone choosing their own country and doing some sort of turn." And happily, the cheese was jettisoned. Linda said softly, "It's not often people disagree with me, Paul. It's quite refreshing." And Paul laughed heartily until he found a little figure of Graham Norton on an inverted cross nailed to the front door of the stables. Stella and Adam went for a cup of coffee together. "We're trying to look after Brian without him realising," said Adam. "Far be it from me, Adam, but I think Brian may have picked it up. It's little things like the fact that he's changed the locks and put signs up saying no hawkers, cold callers or family members." Stella pointed out that she hardly ever saw her siblings, but that's what happens when you move to Ambridge. It's like joining the Jesus Army. You have to renounce your family and sign your savings over to the village shop. By the way, what happened to that enormously expensive bit of kit she bought that no one knows about yet? The gold-plated flying combine or whatever it was. Here's hoping the bill for that comes in when she's prancing about the Uffizi. Alice might find out what's in her dad's will sooner than she's expecting. I do not know or care what Kenton's secret ingredient is in the coronation cocktail. Gravy granules, possibly. But what I do care about is why Kenton and Jolene are still married when they clearly loathe each other. They actually go out of their way to make each other's lives worse. Anyway, Justin's bright idea to celebrate Prince Charles getting a new hat is to deck one chosen building in Ambridge with fairy lights like a Mississippi steamship. What that has to do with royalty or anything, I don't know. I also don't know what the hell Jolene was doing to Justin to persuade him to light up the ball, apart from getting him bladdered en chenin blanc, but he sounded simultaneously tired and ecstatic, which clearly means she's better at it than Freddie, although I would have thought Prism would have given him a bit of practice. There was what Tracy described as a bit of a situation with Linda's board. This turned out to be people rubbing each other off all over the place, which sounds utterly filthy and a lot more fun than a normal night out at the Bull. And interestingly, Freddie outed Ian as not only a double crosser, but as a wearer of jazzy fleeces. I presume by this, he means those awful Patagonian style ones that are £15 at Mountain Warehouse and set on fire if you even look at a naked flame and are bought by tourists who go to Cumbria in July expecting it to be warm. Oh, hang on, my cocktail's right. Gone down the wrong way.
Oh dear. Oh, it's the thought of those jazzy sweatshirts.
Fleeces.
Oh, I've just actually Googled jazzy sweatshirt. Oh no, jazzy fleeces, wasn't
jazzy
it?
Jazzy fleece.
I bet they're nice.
And finally, Linda and Paul have formed an unlikely friendship.
Are you all right? Are you okay?
Like a sort of passive-aggressive Time Lord with a camp and streetwise assistant. I can't think why Russell T. Davis didn't sign them both up. Linda didn't know what a high five was, and if Paul doesn't waz Justin's money straight up the wall on more honeycomb balls and glitter spray, then I'm Conchita-versed. And on a cheering note, wedding plans are continuing apace. Tracy's going to be wearing a bin bag, and Chelsea is going to be her wedding attendant and hold her handbag so she can have a wee in it or something. It'll be the usual community affair, with Tracy carrying a bouquet made of dandelions that Clary's picked from round the meadow, Jolene graciously allowing Tracy to hold her reception at the pub she works in every night for a reduced fee. Oh, will your generosity know no bounds, Jolene? And no doubt Susan doing the buffet and making an enormous performance out of it. Oh, and Alice going round, asking everyone if she can have a quick squeeze at their will. The end.
Well done. You did a great job of mopping up this week's odds and sods.
It really was odds and sods, wasn't it?
Very
poor
much odds
Sarah,
and
Sarah Double Barrel had a really, really hard time this week, I think.
Sarah Double Barrel?
the scriptwriter was called Sarah something. Yes.
I mean, it's quite difficult to be storylining Eurovision and the coronation at the same time.
Yep.
So it is all getting a bit... But then they're such odd ideas for both, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Surely it should be that something is lighted up for Eurovision. And then... Do you think it's all just going to culminate in the same
thing? A massive
thing?
Explosion, I'm hoping. I think... I just don't understand, because nobody in Ambridge has expressed the slightest interest in Eurovision ever before.
No,
ever, ever,
exactly.
Ever. And I can't believe that just because it's Liverpool, everyone's wetting themselves with excitement. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, it was very BBC this week, wasn't it? When Harrison had to explain to Pat,
yes,
Eurocast on BBC Sounds.
Yeah.
Do you think that
music,
was a sort of
radio,
like...
podcasts, that's what
I wish Pat had just gone. Music, radio, podcast. Oh, sorry, we're here to talk about Rob. Okay.
Never mind the incipient threat to my grandchildren. Tell me more about BBC Sounds.
It was like...
The entire thing was written by the BBC Press
Office.
Yeah,
it was.
Week.
And it was like her entrance was like Acorn Antiques, wasn't
yes.
it? Because it was so
Hello,
awkward.
Pat, what are you doing in my kitchen? I'm listening to you. Then she just goes, what are
there
you listening
wasn't a
to?
Door. There wasn't a door. Or I would have knocked and you would have opened it. But I just walked straight
just
in.
Spontaneously appeared in your kitchen. And you wouldn't go to someone, what are
with
you listening to?
With my serious face on. No, you wouldn't.
You'd say, I'm really sorry to bother you.
You'd just say,
what are you watching? Porn. It's porn, Pat. Have you ever seen porn? It's great. I love it. Can't get enough.
It was just so, he sort of handed her a leaflet about it almost, didn't he? Do you think that was a condition? They could only get Rylan if they plugged Eurocast.
But she just, Pat just sort of stood there, yes, frozen. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Hello.
She was so...
Is this the police station? Who are you?
And it was so weird because he wasn't at work. So
no.
It was really inappropriate for her just to be standing.
And then he goes, who
are you?
Do you want a cup of tea, Pat? Rather than going, look, go home and yes. ring the local community, the police
Harrison,
station.
I'm sorry
where there
to
are
you.
Working policemen who can help you, rather than me eating my cross buns and
in
watching
the
porn. Yeah.
Don't mind this. Oh, this old, this thing. Don't mind. You won't mind if I don't get up. No, you're fine.
I'm used to it.
It was very, very awkward, wasn't it?
It really was.
But that made me laugh. But that's the thing. It was some of it, wasn't it?
Most of it was strange. Yeah,
because as you said, then there was that strange scene with Jolene doing something strange to Justin.
When she's going, oh, you could almost hear her getting up again, you know. Is that all right then, Justin? And he was like, that's bloody marvellous, Jolene. Yes. Oh,
it's a silky one, isn't it? Enjoying that, Justin? How about you light me up now?
But
even
Freddie
was strange coming out of that meeting.
Yes.
With thank you, Mr. Elliot. It was all like suddenly they became a little bit cardboard characters.
And also, where was the meeting?
And why? And what's most confusing is I just don't really understand. Like, he said he was going to give his money to the Eurovision thing.
Yeah.
And then, he might as well have done, because he's forking out for something. It just is all... Yeah. It's just... The trouble is, as well, it's not high stakes enough to care about.
No.
So it's...
And there's Susan going, well, it's a once in a lot... I have to do Clary when I do so, because I just copy your...
Well, it's Christopher! Just say that.
It's a once in a lifetime thing. Once in a lifetime thing, Neil. About, you know, the coronation and everything. And, you know, she's sort of frantically trying to inject some sort of urgency into it. No one else gives a toss.
No,
Kenton's hiding from all his customers in the eating sandwiches in the
and
flat
nobody's drinking
the
his cocktails.
Nobody's
it's
drinking
all, his cocktails. It's actually a bit anti-coronation, isn't it?
It's just
Do you think
odd.
The BBC are being really careful not to be too royal or something?
Have they brought in this Eurovision fanaticism to sort of give a Republican So we've got the monarchist and the Republican slant going on at once. So there's something for everyone.
To attract
inevitably
the younger
ends
generation.
Up with nothing for anyone, because everyone just goes, what is this? And stops listening.
Well, they have to be massive on Eurovision because Ryland's coming. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, I guess if Charles was coming, they would have upped the coronation more.
Maybe he is.
I think they asked him, didn't they? And he snubbed them because his wife's done it. And then he was like, look, guys, it's just a really busy month for me. And so they were like, right, well, fine. If you're not going to bother turning
up. We'll get Ryland then. He was next on the list anyway. We've got a list. It just says the King, Ryland. Yeah. That's it.
We're going to have cheese and dressing up as countries, and you can just have an illuminated bull.
Can I just say that when I came up with the stupid idea for our social thing, which was people dressing up as national things, I hadn't listened to the Archers, and imagine my surprise when I listened to it today and thought, oh God, they're doing that. That's a real thing.
Yes. But what are they? They're dressing up as the countries, but do they have to do a jig or something?
They could do a performance. So they can either cook a national dish or sing a national song or something.
Oh, that could get a bit more awkward. It could get a bit like my Lambda audition, you know, where I accidentally sang sun on the meadow, which is the Nazi song from Cabaret, because I didn't realise it was the Nazi song.
Yeah.
So it could get a bit awkward in the bill.
Yeah.
Of nationalities jostling. Could get orcs. No, I couldn't really work. I couldn't, because I'd lost the plot by then.
There was nothing to lose. Okay, nothing.
That's why. I'm not sure what they're doing. They're dressing up. They're choosing the country that they want to represent in the form of food/a performance. Is that right?
Yes.
And no cheese.
And then it all stops. There's no cheese anymore. Then it all stops. And then they have a piece of cake. And then they watch Eurovision.
But how are they going to... It sounds like they've got about 170 people who've signed up. So it's going to be a full day of... Well, it's like Britain's Got Talent.
Basically. There's going to be auditions around the
block. No, sorry, not that.
13-year-olds on roller skates, Brewster, hopping about outside, stretching.
But they're, God, it's hardcore. I'd have a headache already about it.
It's ridiculous.
I suppose it's the weekend after the coronation, isn't it, though?
I don't know.
Because there's no way that Ambridge wouldn't be having a Coronation Street party or a lunch or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty... That's just sort of standard, isn't it, for coronation?
I'm finding the whole thing baffling. I'm not particularly interested in either thing, but I just think there are some times in the Arches, I would imagine the royal wedding was probably a similar time. You know, the Charles and Diana, look how well that turned out, wedding. Yes, we haven't had anything sort of massive.
Yeah, there was
really.
The royal wedding. Well, the Will's and Kate was quite a big royal wedding.
Did they cover that? That
I feel like they did, but maybe that's because I did as Shambridge. I think they must have done. It was a massive weekend. Because that was a 3-day weekend.
I just think the two things have collided. They've got the PC-ness of we can't be too Republican and we can't be too monarchist and BBC, so they have to do their David Dimbleby bit, and they also have to do the Eurovision bit, and it's all collided and it's all ridiculous, and we just have to suspend disbelief, grit our teeth, get through the next fortnight, and then it'll all be back to normal again.
Because
which was
I'd
why
rather...
that made the Pat bit even more ludicrous.
Yes,
when he's
did.
Listening to flipping Eurocast and she's going, I'm concerned about my ex-son-in-law killing my daughter and abducting my grandchild. And he was going, have you heard this rally? He's brilliant. You know, it's sort of, it just clanged so badly. Because you're like, nobody really is taking it that seriously. There might be street parties and things like that, but nobody's taking either thing to the level that they are.
Well, I actually think it's a shame. Like, I would have actually enjoyed a bit of... luckily you've covered it in your sketch. I don't know when that's going out. But the I would have enjoyed some Susan Clary royalist banter. That's always good for a laugh, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And we've got that in the sketch next week. Not this week, next week.
Thank God, Lucy. Because
thank God, BBC for us.
Thank God.
Yes.
At least someone is addressing national matters, Lucy.
The elephant in the room. Oh, no, sorry, that's Clary.
Also, because Camilla has been on the Arches and she's about to be the new queen.
She's a big fan. Big fan. Big
fan. Yeah. Maybe they are. It would be a... Anyway, the trouble was that this week was...
It was odds and sods, exactly as you said.
Because we've had the big, excitement about is he coming? Isn't he coming?
Yeah.
And they had to sort of just bumble along a bit this week, didn't they, with other stuff that was a bit.
Can you imagine Pat saying to Harrisman, you've got no idea how annoyed the listeners are. They're desperate for something to happen. We just need to know, Harrisman, because Harriet's getting really, really irritated.
No, because they should have actually fed us keep our interest, they could have fed us a bit of when I was sort of only half listening, when Kenton phoned Natasha,
yes,
and all I heard was, I'm sorry, who is this? And I was like, oh my God, Rob's calling Natasha, this is amazing, oh my God,
Kenton.
And he's gonna pretend and then he went, it's Kenton. I was like, it's not Kenton, he's putting on that voice. And then I was like, oh, it is Kenton.
There has to be a point to this week. There has to be. I've spent an hour and a half listening to this.
Because it's almost like, as well, what they do in these sort of weeks is the characters forget about any other storylines.
Yes.
So Freddie sort of just turned into this pompous Wally, sort of Mr. Elliot, oh yes, oh no.
Yes.
And
Ian and his jazzy pieces.
Although that was actually a really funny line. I really enjoyed
when he's spluttering with indignation. I like it when Freddie goes, no! And he gets all high-pitched and, and he was going...
And actually, you worked with him.
Yeah.
That was really good, I thought. We didn't hear back from Erin. We didn't hear more on the...
Twitter says that Erin is a scam.
Oh, God, Twitter is bloody good.
I know.
Bloody good.
And that it's a coincidence that Paddy died 2 weeks ago, she said.
Wow.
And, you know, so she's going to ask for help with funeral expenses or something like that. It's going to be a money thing.
And then Alice is going to have to give him that 15 grand to cover what they've lost.
Maybe.
Shit. Bloody hell. Twitter is so
on it. You did that bit. No one else said that, but yes.
No, but that she's a scam. That would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because she is too good to be true. Yes. Yeah. That is incredible. God, she is going
to
be
a gaslighter. She didn't give any information about Paddy, really, did she? She just said he'd died.
Because Adam wasn't very interested, was he?
No, he just wanted to talk about his pizza van. And
That's so interesting. Yeah. And it'll be all that thing about, they're trying to meet up and then suddenly she can't be there at the last minute.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called? It's not gaslighting, is it? What's it called when you're...
Catfishing.
Catfishing. She's a catfish.
Yes.
And you know catfishes, they can get apps to disguise their voices.
Yes.
So
I've
maybe
listened to the podcast, Harriet, I know.
Yeah, they're so good, aren't they?
We all have,
so good. We all have. Yeah. They're all really creepy though, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's going to be an excellent storyline though.
It's probably not true.
Good one,
she'll just probably turn out to just be a perfectly normal woman from Dublin.
I'm just a lovely, normal, lovely girl called Erin. I mean, she did sound really nice. If she phoned me and said she was my long-lost sister, I'd totally believe her. £100,000,
sure. If a Nigerian prince rang you and said that he wanted you to look after his grandfather's inheritance, you'd totally believe him.
How much? Just give me your bank details, sweetie. Yeah, I'll send it right over. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing my card at the same time, so just... Sorry, I'm not... You put it on an email. Put it on an email, Poppy, because I can't concentrate.
Luckily, I've heard those excellent podcasts.
Yes, me too.
We're all very, very much informed.
Yes.
I literally can't even think about what else happened this week. No. I've forgotten already. Even
Should we do the emails and see if they jog our memoirs?
Yes.
Okay. Right. This is from Elizabeth Bartle, who says...
Elizabeth Bartle.
Lucy mentioned the window at the dairy as being relevant to a possible plot line with Rob. I'd been thinking this for a few days now. There must be some reason they've made such a big issue about it, and not just the window, but the intercom system. I think Rob may turn up in the dairy when Helen is alone, but she will switch on the speaker so the whole farm can hear and then see what's happening. The windows and intercom will have saved the day. On the subject of Helen and Rob, I always thought it was such good script writing that Helen, who is generally unlikable, was the character who was the subject of the abuse. She was demonstrating her lack of self-awareness and Lady the Manor attitude to Susan and Clary very recently, making me loathe her more than Pip. But now I have to have sympathy for her again. Bugger. Even Soppy Lee is showing signs of a backbone. Double bugger. By the way...
Yes. Also, did you see that?
She says, I think you just missed him would make an excellent epitaph. On a gravestone. Oh, hello! Really you just missed him.
That was really good, really good. Did you see that photo that Susie tweeted out of...
Of her and Lee, in their yellow.
Yeah. Lee's actually very, very handsome.
Do you think?
I thought.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I thought he looked fine in yellow. Hard colour to pull off on a man.
Mm.
I thought he looked quite dreamy. In fact.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he looked exactly how I imagine Lee. But I thought he looked very
handsome.
God,
I thought he was nothing like... I imagine Lee small, stocky, dark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I imagined him looking exactly like... I can't remember the actor's name, but I imagined him looking exactly like that.
Gosh.
Yeah, blonde, sort of cheery. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Very nice, Matt Bromhead. Very nice, Matt Bromhead messaged me to tell me that my levels were all over the place 2 weeks ago. And I said, yes, I know. It all went very wrong. And I apologised. And then
we basically know even before it's gone out.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, oh, no, don't worry. It's fine. Thank you for replying. And then he said, by the way, I was listening to Febreze's review of the Brookfield B&B and thought to myself, David's not going to like this. I really should get out more. I find myself thinking how the characters would react to certain news stories as well, which is mad, isn't it?
Well, they obviously listen to current affairs and podcasts. Yeah. And
but I think if there's a certain farming story, I think, ooh, Linda's, or whatever. Ooh, that's good for Kirsty or something. Something about rewilding. I'm bonkers. Mind you, not as bonkers as Jeff, who dreamt that he was on a bus in Eurovision.
Oh, that's weird.
I know. He was on a bus in Eurovisia and he was trying to pay for a bus ticket with a cow, using cow as a currency.
He's got into your sketch brain.
Gone out of his own mind.
Should I go there?
Ray Beddo said that when he mentioned Raoul Moat last week, he said, I should have mentioned that the new boyfriend Moat killed was a karate instructor. That was the parallel I was trying to point out.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I remember now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes. And he says, a bit late now, but right. When Helen and Lee were talking about places visited in San Francisco, I was surprised to hear them mention of Haight Ashbury. Being a child of the 60s myself, I wonder how many listeners would understand the reference. Well, I did, and I'm a child of the 70s.
I don't know what that means.
It's the really, really hippie bit. It's probably an absolute shitty now, but it was the really, really hippie bit where people would wander around naked and it was all very peace and love and all that sort of thing. So quite what I can't imagine anywhere that Helen and Lee would like less, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's a bit anarchic and chaotic and.
Although actually, I can see them both going down that route.
Really?
Yeah. Well, going a bit, you know, like if they just started smoking more cannabis, then, you know, I think Lee could definitely become very, very, very chilled.
My theory is that all the Bridge Farm archers, except Tom, are anti-vaxxers.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
But
can you imagine Helen giving up enough control? But they treat their cows homeopathically.
No, I think they're too sensible. They're too. Okay.
I bet Kate.
Because they're. Kate, yeah, for sure. But the Bridge Farm, they're quite rule abiding, aren't they?
Compliant, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're organic, but they're not like what's that expression? Wee wee,
woo,
wee wee, woo woo,
wee wee. They're not really.
It's gone very dark in this room. I haven't got any lights on and the shutters down. And suddenly I'm just sitting here.
Talking about wee wee. Sitting on a bed.
With just sort of lights flashing at me from the the interface.
God.
So it's all getting a bit weird. Sorry. Anyway, carry on.
Slightly deranged. Yes. Moving on from the wee wee and the woo. Maybe not. Maybe not then. Maybe I'm judging them unfairly. Pat Brown, this is. Who says, for the first time, I listened to your podcast in public. I was travelling on a coach from Birmingham to Leeds, and thank goodness I won't meet any of those people again. It was embarrassing. I had been at an academic archer / Dumpty Dum mashup.
Oh, yes. They had the big do.
Yes. And so already had Ambridge in my head. A woman called Ness, who does the sound effects on the archers, talked to us about the scene with Ben and Bess. She had made all the dog noises.
Oh, God.
And is so committed.
Oh, she did? Yeah. Wow.
She is so committed that she lay on the floor, and when Ben said roll over, she rolled over. Needless to say, when I listened to the omnibus, all I could think of was this woman rolling around the studio floor.
Oh, I feel bad now. Because
we was laughing at it.
Well, we were just saying it was very slow, but maybe it took her a while to roll over. Maybe that's why.
Maybe she's got an artificial hip or something.
That's amazing. Yes. That sounded...
Commitment to a like job.
Sounded like an online sound effect. Wow. I'd love to meet her.
I bet that was an amazing talk. Pat also says, I wish I knew how to do a review. I try from time to time, but I can't manage it. I will persist. You would definitely get at least 5 stars. So that's nice. We've got 5 putative stars from Pat. What I'm going to do,
it's a thought that counts, Lucy.
I'm going to record a step-by-step guide to how to write a review on
iTunes. Can you do it like a YouTube person? Can you do it on YouTube?
Should I do an unboxing?
Yes, please. Yes.
Then I'll do a reaction to my own unboxing, and then I'll do a reaction to me reacting to my own
unboxing. I would really love to watch you do a step-by-step
bearing in mind, you just told me how to plug my microphone
Exactly. We go through at the beginning of, is it fair to say, Lucy, every episode?
Something's wrong, isn't it?
It's always
very rare that we're quick off the blocks. Me, I'm clear. Yeah.
And I always say, Lucy, just do what you did last week to rectify.
And then I start crying and say, I can't remember what it was last week. There's a mysterious button, ladies and gentlemen, called INCE. And we don't know what it does. There's actually two of them. And Harriet said to me in a very perturbed voice, she said, because something wasn't working and she couldn't hear me. And she said, oh, have you pressed INCE? And I said, no. And she said, oh, don't ever press INCE. And I said, but what is it? She said, I don't know, but just don't ever press it. So now I kind of think of it like a sort of ejector seat. I'm going to press it and get catapulted through the front of the shed.
And then what happened the week after? You pressed it again.
I did.
But you just have to press Phantom Power. Phantom Power is the only one.
That's the 45V one, is it?
That's a 48V.
48V.
And nobody knows. I asked somebody, an engineer once, why you had to press it. And he said nobody knows.
But Jeff said it's because if you haven't got a power source coming directly into your interface, that's what you have to do. Because it's providing electricity.
What?
Oh, ask him,
because it's not plugged in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so tedious, isn't it?
I know. You just want it to work. I don't need to know why.
No. What I want, Lucy, is I come upstairs at like, say we're recording at 8, at 5 to 8.
Yeah.
And it's all set up perfectly, like in a studio.
Yeah.
And I just sit down and put the headphones on. Yeah. Someone brings me a coffee and off we go.
Yeah. You put your little prep cup down next to you. Say, hello. Oh, it's lovely to see you. I haven't seen you for ages. How's the baby? No, tell me after. What are we doing?
Yeah. Sorry, record. Yeah. Sorry, record. Oh, go. Okay, just bring you. Sorry, you bring me the script. Thank you. Okay, ready. Yes. Ready, thank you.
Actually, I need a wee.
Hello,
hold on.
Welcome.
Right.
One day.
Steve Barry, this is. He says, no more calling Lee wet. When he told Pat.
Okay, well, after seeing him in that yellow T-shirt, I'm not.
Okay.
He looked very masculine and, well, no, that's not the right word, is it? He looked very, what's the opposite of wet then?
Dry?
No, but in the sort of wet sense.
Strong, forthright, assertive.
That's the word.
Masculine.
That's the word. Lee is strong.
Yeah. He is not. Anyway, when he told Pat to get back in her box, I thought, good for you. Yeah. I get that she's worried about the potential effects of Rob on Helen, but dragging Tony in as well was naughty. I quite like, bearing in mind her usual infantilization of Tony, listening to him stand up to her, and it was quite refreshing. Yeah. I thought that as well. With regards to Elizabeth and Freddie, I have some sympathy for Freddie's position, and I thought the bit between Freddie and David was actually quite good. But why hadn't he explained his position with Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Yes. My other thought, that is, regarding Adam's newfound family, one word, scam.
Wow.
Think about it, trawling genealogy sites, and what a coincidence. Yes. Paddy died just 2 weeks before Adam started and just a month after Jenny.
And they haven't really done an online scam storyline.
No.
That's bloody amazing. People are so clever.
I know. Something I didn't understand, and as you found this week as tedious as I did, you probably don't either, but...
No, just confusing.
Well, why is the picture now coming down?
Yes.
Because there was no discussion. David said, I'll talk to Elizabeth.
Yeah, and then she said, okay, I'll just take it down then.
No, but we didn't hear that, did we?
No, we didn't hear it. And also, that shouldn't be... That's even worse. I just think that's even worse. It's like they're just if they just take it down, they're brushing it under the carpet.
Yeah.
Because it's for Freddie's benefit, so Freddie doesn't have to confront his relative's past.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, presumably it should be the opposite.
Yes.
You should have to confront it and then do something about it.
Yeah, otherwise you're hiding like everybody else hid for centuries.
Well, I think Elizabeth basically said to the trustees that, they're just not going to sell it, are they?
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very.
But that's another storyline that just suddenly flared up and then just went...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I really hope, if that's the end of that storyline, I'm actually going to be a bit cross. Mm. Because that really is tokenism then, if that's the end of it. Because it nothing has been accomplished, really.
No.
So I hope that's not the end of it.
We've had the shortest email we've ever had from Sean Kennedy.
Does it just say, dear... No, I can't be asked. Bye.
It's not even that long. It's headed Ian's Jazzy Fleeces.
Yeah.
And it just, the email is just, ha. That's it, ha. Anyway.
Well, that is email of the year. Because actually, that was the standout line in the whole week, wasn't it?
Yeah. Him and his Jazzy Fleeces. James Everett is also referring to the Jazzy Fleece theme. Ian has Jazzy Fleeces. What other secrets does Ian have? Is there more than meets the eye with Ian? After finding out about his Jazzy Fleeces, I have a newfound liking for him. Maybe despite being married to Adam, he may be an interesting and nice guy. Who knows? Hopefully we'll find out more about Ian's jazzy fashion in the talent showcase. Also, I have a message for the Archers writers, if they are listening. Where is Pip? Surely Pip should be more involved in storylines, especially if she'll take him to Brookfield one day. Some suggestions are, 1, Stella takes Pip to Florence as a date for the wedding. 2, Pip enters the Eurovision talent show. Not sure if he has any talent. Pip is illuminated in the illumination celebration. She is the best landmark of Ambridge. Thank you for listening. The PAFC, Pip Archer Fan Club, current members, 1, he says.
Do you remember when Pip found a friend?
Oh, yes.
Her ex-old friend.
Yes, yes.
And then...
Disappeared. Yeah.
I mean, that was odd, wasn't it?
Because they probably will come back to that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, I guess she'll be coming up. It's Pip. Coming up.
And then we'll listen to her for one episode and go, oh, for God's sake. She's driving me mad. I can't bear she's back. Right, do you remember what the hell is happening here?
Yay! Last week? We need a jingle.
Do you remember what it was?
What the hell is? Now then. Can you just
Fletcher wanting to be a Chinese magician?
Yes, remember? That was it.
Do you have any idea why?
No.
Okay.
And who was speaking it again?
It was somebody was saying to Linda, we've got a big problem.
Caroline. No,
yes. Caroline. Linda was telling Caroline, wasn't it?
Caroline. Yes.
Derek Fletcher wants to be a Chinese magician in Linda's Christmas Around the World talent show.
Oh.
This later turns into a cabaret evening with Jimus reading Latin poetry, Jazza singing, and the Button Sisters doing a coconut dance. Very cultural.
Oh, right. Brackets.
What the hell is a coconut dance? I don't go.
It's a bit like a hexagonal ball.
Is it?
Honeycomb ball.
Honeycomb ball.
Do you know what? By the way, I do know what a honeycomb ball is.
Do you? Did you Google it?
Yeah,
I didn't. What is it?
It's like a paper thing, you know, like
Yes,
like one of those lantern-y things,
like a Chinese lantern thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it not allowed to be called Chinese anymore? So you have to call it a honeycomb lantern.
Do you think that's right? Oh, maybe that's right, Lucy. Hang on.
When he kept saying honeycomb ball, I just kept wanting a crunchy because that's all I could think.
No, but I thought he was saying it for the sort of frivolity, the sort of, you know, campness of it, but it does look like a sort of Chinese lantern. Actually is not like that.
Oh,
this is almost like, this is a ball but honeycomby
with wiggly pattern. Wiggly.
But hang on a minute, so was Jim in Ambridge when
I thought
Caroline had died before Jim. I feel like Jim is a relatively new character.
I think he's been there for a decade now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's funny, isn't it?
So what we year are, was it, that then?
Is, Ambridge is such a village, and we are such villagers that we still think of Linda as an incomer, even though she's been there, you know, 25 years or whatever.
It's weird, isn't it?
Incredible.
So what year was the...
Don't know.
Around the world.
Didn't say, did he?
Because if Tilly and... Tilly and her sister were around. Mm. Can only have been about... must have been... Because Caroline surely has died 10 years ago, didn't she? Or has it not been that long?
I think about 5 years.
Oh, really? Oh, right, okay. Just haven't heard her for a while, Lucy. And dead. Also, another thing that yes. made me think about, of course, was, you know, you said that... Paul had no idea who Linda was, or but he would have done, because he saw the mysteries.
Did he?
Or he saw Harrison. He saw Harrison.
Oh, yes,
in one
because
of those
he said you
naked.
Were. Yes.
Yeah. So he probably would have found out who Linda was. But anyway, it just
maybe
it
he was
sort of bugged me.
By harassment.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, he forgot to ask who the director was. But it bugged me a bit that he wouldn't have known who Linda was.
Yeah, and
especially
then to do that
seeing
silly
as he knew Monty really well.
With harassment and going, oh, it wasn't Linda, was it? Linda Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But then hasn't Linda befriend someone else quite recently? Didn't she? Oh, no, that was Susan and Adam. I feel like, you know, when they were sort of high-fiving and she was, you know, having a sort of young person friend. I felt like that had happened before quite recently.
Well, only Freddie, but they were never at the high-fiving stage.
Oh, yes. Yeah, her and Freddie. Mm. That's what made me think about. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
So this week's What the Hell is Happening Here?
Yeah. What the hell is, what the hell is...
This is quite cute, actually, this one.
What the hell is happening here?
You ran out of steam.
Matt, can you do jingle,
Matt,
please?
It's broken.
And I'll send you my mug.
Yeah.
Return.
Right, ready?
Yep. Yep.
Yes, it's all gone quiet again.
Have you pressed phantom power?
No, I pressed in.
Can you see him yet, Mummy?
I don't think so. There's such a crowd.
And they all look the same. He should have worn something different.
I don't think that would have gone down very well.
Oh, no, look, here they are!
And Dr. Shula. She will look after him, won't she?
And Oliver will too. You really don't need to worry. Freddy's a very good rider.
I know, but he's such an idiot.
Hello! We've been looking for you everywhere.
You can't have looked very hard. We've been here ages.
It is a crush, isn't it?
You both look splendid, I must say.
What do you think, Lily?
I've seen you look worse.
I think that's a compliment coming from a sister, Freddy.
It certainly is from Lily.
Is anybody else here from Pony Club?
Oh, yes. Should we go find them? Is that all right?
Of course it is.
Yeah, I'll find you when it starts.
Thank you.
Come on, Casper. Come on then, Lily. Do try and keep up.
And you try to remember I'm not on horse.
Good advice, Lily.
Oh, my God. That's like seeing your kids when they were tiny.
I know.
I actually do remember that episode, Lucy, I think.
Do you? There was a lot of forced voices going on there, wasn't there?
Oh, do come and look. Do come and look. Everything is splendid in this, Ambridge. This was before we all had to talk normally on the radio.
Mary Poppins.
Everybody was allowed to talk like this.
Yes.
Oh, Mary Poppins, do let us go. Please, Mary Poppins, do let us. Oh, Mary Poppins, may we? Mayn't we? Oh, my
whereas
God.
Nowadays it would be, what, Mary Poppins? Be Chelsea.
Oh, just...
Hello, Mary Poppins.
Even Elizabeth. Elizabeth sounds much younger.
Yeah.
Everything
like
looks
Margaret.
Splendid. Yes.
You do look pretty splendid, I must say.
Sheila sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I think I do remember. Am I allowed to say what I think it is? Or am I spoiling it?
I think people will know. Even I knew what that one was.
That was the first time Freddie went on a hunt.
It was, yeah, I think it was either the hunt or a point to point. I think it was
right.
The hunt.
Right. Yeah. That episode genuinely rings a bell. And right. Now I think, God, I must be old if I can remember them when they were kids. Blimming heck. But then I have been listening since I was a child, so fair enough. Wow, that's so funny. Oh, I'd like... I'd like the real Freddie and Lily to hear that, yeah, wouldn't you?
I wonder, it wasn't them, was it?
I doubt it. They were usually the daughters and sons of the actors. Or maybe just the local theatre school.
Remember, I'm not on a horse. Well said, Lily. Whatever it was. Right, this is David.
I just ask one thing? Sorry. Was that episode... I mean, I know we're going to find out next week, Lucy.
Yes.
But was that before Nigel died?
Yes.
Right, okay, yeah. Because I remember when he died, then there was a lot of stuff with horses and...
Oh, that was with his old horse, wasn't it? Enormous one.
And they went and had bonding sessions with the horse. Yes. Okay. I love listening to those. I absolutely love listening to those. Don't you?
Yes.
I feel a bit sad and happy at the same time.
Time passing. This is from David Thomas, my friend in Wales.
Oh,
yes. Who has the organic gin distillery in Cornwall.
Oh, yes. Coffee, coffee. Yes.
Bora da, Lucy Ahariet, he says.
Bora da.
I am just writing to say how wonderfully observed and written and acted the scene between Brad and Chelsea and Den was this week.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Chelsea showed her vulnerable side, but she was also very strong in mentioning her termination to her father as being almost incidental. The scene was also packed with details that identify and embed the characters in our mind, like Den's weak joke about the lager refill, more nasal harumphing from Chelsea, and Brad slurping his drink and commenting on the rice. For me, the scene was just perfection and reminded me of how good the Archers can be and why I keep listening. I can't believe that Den has changed his spots, but let's wait and see. I must also mention the C word. No, not that one. The Corra Bloody Nation. I know that the Archers represent so-called Middle England, but can we at least have one dissenting voice? Here in rural Carmarthenshire, I am yet to meet anyone who isn't resigned to avoiding the whole thing. Meanwhile, our supermarkets are filled with tatty memorabilia that everyone is studiously ignoring. Can we please have a bit of Republican balance? Who would Ambridge's staunchest Republican be? My money would be on Jim or Hannah. One other thing.
Hannah, yeah.
A jazzy fleece is an oxymoron. I live in the countryside and believe me, fleece is only come in two shades, wet cement and cowpat. So where on earth is Ian getting his fleeces? I adore your podcast. It makes me laugh out loud. I have to listen on headphones as my husband is an Archer's refuse Nick, so I get lots of quizzical looks. He doesn't know what he's missing.
Well, that is the BBC all over, Lucy. There we are going, it's terribly Republican. And then somebody comes along and goes, it's so bloody royalist.
I think isn't that funny? Jimis has been very quiet recently, and I really doubt that. I mean, he'd just start waffling on about, you know, Roman emperors and things like that, wouldn't he? And say, well, of course, what? They used to behead cockerels and da, 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 and that's what the pit that he'd be interested in. I think...
Hannah would be definitely anti-royal.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. That's interesting though, actually, isn't it? We were just saying we think it's sort of more Eurovision than coronation, but maybe that's how we've heard it.
I don't want it to be more coronation, but I also don't want it to be Eurovision either. I just want it to be about the flipping storylines it was about 3 weeks ago.
But I totally agree, actually. The Den, Brad, Chelsea scene, I thought was really, really good.
Yeah.
Really well acted, wasn't it?
And
the
way Chelsea almost warned him off and said, like, I know he's a little bit vulnerable, don't you think you can manipulate him because I've got his back?
Yeah, but then Chelsea broke, didn't she? He really got her.
Yeah.
And,
anyway, had a termination.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. Had termination a couple of weeks ago. That was fun. That was really brilliant, wasn't it? Just very believable, that scene.
Do you believe in him?
Is he playing at? Very random to just send your ex-wife 100 quid.
Yeah.
Think probably just go around with a bottle of champagne or something.
Yeah.
Odd to send a check. No, there's something not right there, isn't there? Something going on. Unless it becomes a
but
story.
But no doubt they will handle it nobly because they are the British working class. And apparently they are the Corrybins are just without fault. They must always rush in to save everything and everybody and be completely marvellous all the time. Which
it was great at Jolene to let us have the bull for nothing. Oh, sorry, no, she's charging us £2,000.
She's so tight, isn't she?
I know, I was like, No.
It's surely one night.
For God's sake. Like, Chelsea's literally run... Like, it always seems to be run off her feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You finally found a reliable staff member who's...
Give her a
your
night.
Your pub's been patronised by her family for years, and you can't just let her have one room for one flipping... night.
Yeah, but Kenton was saying, wasn't he, the winter fuel bills. Mm. Oh, actually, weren't they, didn't they, in the winter, didn't they, weren't they supposed to have those nights where people could just come in? It was what was it called? I can't remember.
But people come in and they don't have to pay anything.
A warm space or something.
Heat or feet or something.
Yeah, I think they didn't bother doing that. So tight, aren't they?
And also it stopped Kenton having to sit upstairs and eat sandwiches. He had to actually come down and be behind the bar of his own pub.
Jolene, turn the heating down. If I turn the heating down, Kenton, I can't wear these tight tops.
I'll have somebody's eye out. This is from Mr. Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Matt.
I won't read that now. I'll do that when before we play here because it's linked to. He's actually found a link this week. He's very excited about
it.
Now, did you used to like Dame Edna Everidge?
Oh, Lucy, darling. She was one of the first people that I tried to impersonate.
I was forever making her glasses.
Really?
You know, I don't know. Me and my friends must have dressed up as her all the time because I just remember constantly cutting out cardboard Dame Edna Everidge glasses. Yeah, loved her.
Libby Purvis did an amazing tribute to her at the weekend and said one of her favourite lines was... Dame Edna standing at the front of the stage and picking on people and looking at this woman and going, "It's lovely to see you've dressed up, darling. No, you've dressed for the occasion, darling. Not this occasion. You look like you dressed to help a family pet give birth." It's unbelievable. Anyway.
She was so... Oh, yeah.
Ed
so
Price
funny.
Has emailed us and said... Oh, since November, he says, "I've been working at the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, which I described to friends as the Department for the Archers. Do you think I should kick off an underground campaign to rename it from the inside?"
Yes!
DEFRA will now be called the Department for the Archers. He said, "The collective gasp that I'm sure everyone let out when Paul told Linda her ideas were a bit dull, which of course I loved, along with Linda's gracious response later in the episode, made me think of a clip I'd watched earlier in the day when I got into a YouTube hole of Dame Edna, RIP, clips. I thought you might enjoy it too." And I can't take the audio off it, but if you go to YouTube and look up Will Young on the Rob Brydon show, Will Young accidentally makes a brilliant gag and actually sort of discomfits Dame Edna, which never happened normally. And Rob Brydon, it's really funny, and Rob Brydon says, "I think you've just made the worst move of your career." Upsetting Dame Edna.
Oh,
but it's very funny.
Funny.
It's really, really good.
I haven't seen that. Oh, maybe we should put it on Twitter.
Yes, good idea. He says, "Come to think of it, did Dame Edna ever make a cameo in Ambridge? If Rylan can do it, then I'm sure she should have done it."
Oh, darlings, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, but what could she... "Oh, hello, what can I get you?" It would be...
"Hello, darling, I've just come in for a bounty." It wouldn't really work, would it? I can't imagine what she'd be doing. Talking of the campness, we must now cross to BBC Radio Borchester, where Febreze is doing an outside broadcast foraging, God help him, with Kate.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I need to ask for a pay rise, or possibly a bonus for being best celebrity on Radio Borchester. I need to spend a lot of money on my woohoo. It has failed its MOT. Insufficient tread depth on the fake fur trim. Do you think they would let me have one? I need it now, really. Yes, now. Now. Hello, hello, this is me, Fabrizia Felbrisham, looking like I just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today, we have me doing foraging. Not really my sort of thing, as I like my food to come in at least 3 layer of cling film, but I suffer for my art. And now you have to, too.
Hello, good morning and namaste. Welcome to our foraging session in the rewilding bit of Ambridge. Do you all have your wellies and waterproof?
Ha ha! Don't be silly. I have pony skin cowboy boots and a Prada poncho. That will have to do.
That's disgusting.
No, it is not. It is this season and very style.
No, pony skin. I don't want to stand near you. Think of the animal that died.
Well, I don't want to stand near you. Think of all the nylons that died to make that cagoulie.
Hey, these are not the vibes we want. Let go of that negativity. We're here simply to enjoy nature's bounty.
Oh, I love bounty. I would also like to enjoy nature's mint arrow, if there is one.
Okay, let's concentrate, please. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, to only eat what Kate tells you is okay. There are things in this woodland that can kill you very easily.
I didn't know Helen was coming. Right, off we go. Breathe in deeply and make all your senses aware of the beautiful sights, sounds and smells around us. What can you smell?
Sorrel.
Well done, Krusty. That's right. You can put your hand down now. Anyone else? Leaf mould.
Tom Ford.
Well done, everyone. We're really getting our senses tuned in. Now, can anyone smell garlic?
Sorry, yeah, I had a Tic Tac, but it doesn't seem to have done much.
No, this is wild garlic. Ransoms, as it's also known. Lovely white flowers. Can we all see? Now, interestingly, it can be very easily confused with lesser bog trotter, which can result in severe stomach pains, crippling diarrhea and withering of the limbs. It's fantastic for the hair, though. Now, who'd like a taste?
I vote Mia.
I can't. I'm not sure it's vegan.
It is under a bush in a wood. It is not going to have rubbed up against a sausage.
What about you, Krusty? Will you be my guinea pig?
After you, Kate.
Okay. See? Nothing to fear. On my foraging course, we could see the man doing this, and he said how delicious it was.
What do you mean you could see him doing it? Weren't you there?
Oh, yes, on Zoom. It was a 3-hour course. Fascinating. Excuse me?
You told me it was a proper course. You said you had a certificate.
I do. From the Rain Dance Virtual College of Witchcraft, Foraging and Plumbing.
Plumbing?
Yeah, something to do with an NVQ grant. Right, now, if we're all ready to move on. Gosh, it's got quite hot, hasn't it? Whew, follow me.
And so, back to the studio. Oh, why is Kate running all of it quick?
Oops.
And so, thank you to me and to Krusty Miller and Kate Macaroni Aldridge, and we hope she feels much better and is out of intensive care very soon. My advice about foraging is, don't. Go foraging in Waitrose. Wear a cagoulie if it makes you happy. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Now, if you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. You can find us on Facebook.
And you can come to our thing.
Yes, our thing, which is March the 8th at 8 o'clock.
Is it Eurovision or Coronation? I can't remember.
Eurovision. The King and Queen of Eurovision. That's what we'll do. Maybe we'll just stick with the Queen of Eurovision.
Corovision.
That's probably more like it. Corovision. And we're doing is various characters from the village have nominated songs that they like.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing, yes. I say we. And then we all the listener that we play a little clip of the of the song and the video, and then we vote on who is our favourite.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Mm. Great idea. That'd be fun.
Yes.
And that's on
the 8th at 8 p.m.
May the 8th, 8 p.m. So yes, you have to sign up as a Patreone.
Yes.
Can you be a patron for like 2 months if you just want to come to...
Some people pledged a pound and left the day after. So there we are.
Okay.
Thank you. You know who you are. You've let me down. You've let the school down, quite frankly.
Lucy, every little helps. It's like wanting to write a review. It's, you know, it's the good intentions. Hello?
What?
Sorry. Oh, that was Siri. Oh. Siri? I don't know. Go away. Siri sometimes just comes up and...
Oh,
and discomforts me.
Oh.
I think
you're slightly losing your marbles in that dark room in a strange house.
No, I've had to put a light on because it was.
Oh, really?
I was literally talking to you in pitch blackness, and it was very intense. Quite fun, but yeah.
It's like those really late night podcasts. Do you listen to Uncanny? No, you wouldn't, would you? Because you
pee
yourself.
No, what's that? Well,
the Danny Robbins one, the ghost one.
No, I can't. I just can't, Lucy. It's too scary.
I know.
But also the very dark room was making me very, very tired.
Oh, okay.
We're nearly done.
Just pinch yourself, shake your head, bit of cold water.
Yeah. Whoa. In the Netherlands. Italy. What would you go as? I'd go as Italy.
I can only go as England. I'd never pass as anything other than English.
Oh, you could do Swedish, Lucy.
I could not. You could.
You could do Austrian, Swede. You could put some little plaits in your hair and tie them
like
up
a hefty
at the top.
Dirndl woman. That's what I could be.
Put a bit of lederhosen on, Lucy. Yeah. Oh, I think there would be a lot of merriment in the quarters if you walked in your
merriment in
lederhosen.
The quarters. Anyway, moving on. Now this is Matt's this thing for this week.
Email.
His song for this week.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a song which is connected with fighting, right?
Oh, no.
Fighting. And he says it reflects the general anger and passive aggression in Ambridge at the moment, e.g. Justin's competition, making some people hate him even more. Ian angrily stuck in the kitchen while entertaining. And then nicking Freddie's country for the strange cheese-based Eurovision event. Alice is grilling of Brian regarding his will, with him thinking it's rather crass to be asked, which
yeah,
I have
too
to agree,
bloody right. Too
despite
right.
it coming from Brian.
I know.
And he said the list will probably be considerably longer by the end of tonight's episode. Yes, it's probably about another three names you can add, definitely. I completely agree. That was outrageous. You can't ask somebody what's in their
so
will.
Oh, it's so rude. Even if it's your flesh and blood, none of your bloody business.
Well, she did say it as a joke. Let's hope And Brian just went, anyway, I'm just going to go and, check on
I wonder, stuff. Now, but now, what is it? Well, now I need to know.
I think he's left everything to Rory.
Do you think?
Mm.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. That did cross my mind.
Mm. Imagine that. Mm. Anyway, I forgot one. Claire Everett. Do you remember we said last week that the Everetts needed to have their own podcast called Everetts on the Chaise Longue?
Yes.
Laughing along at the dysfunctional family with errant teenage sons that you were discussing, then I realised it's my family you were talking about and not the Grundys. At which point Mr. Everett walks in. He's what we call a silent character. Because you asked last week if there was a Mr. Everett, apparently. Hooray for the return of Stella. Has she been in hiding with the nudist drill? Is that the reason she hasn't taken a day off since Christmas? Anyway, got to dash. I am off to source a Colin the Coronation Caterpillar.
Of course.
Of course.
I love the fact that Stella's going to Florence and I wish we could go with her.
Yes.
To a wedding. I'm very excited. What I'm going to a 50th birthday in Florence.
Are you?
In the summer.
Lovely.
Yes. Her sister had quite a nice name.
Lila.
Lila, yeah.
Lila.
Lila, come on, Lila over here. Yeah, I wish we could go with her.
Mm.
I just feel like that would actually be a really good week.
Yeah.
To just, you know, have our ears in.
No, it'll be a family wedding abroad and there'll be an enormous bust up. Everybody I know that's had a family wedding abroad has ended up with everybody sulking and not speaking on day
and being
three.
A bit resentful at the prices of the hotel.
Yes, yeah. How much have we had to spend to be here? I could have had a row with her at home, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so you probably won't know this. Here we go again. But anyway, let's try.
Thanks,
ready?
Matt. Yeah, let's do it.
Boxing round the room in your little blue silky shorts, Harriet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So what was that from?
Rocky?
Yay!
Yay!
Well,
I've never
done.
Seen it, but I know the music.
I haven't either. The only bit I know from it is Adrian! When he just keeps shouting that. That's the only bit I know, when his face is all smashed up. That's all I know. Anyway.
It's great, great, great theme music, though.
It is great theme music. And also it is quite, it's all a bit passive, as Matt said, it's all a bit passive aggressive. No one's having a full on getting each other warmly by the throat and shaking it row, are they?
No, but everyone's just annoyed with each other generally.
Yes, grumpy.
Yeah.
It's because
that's what Village Events does to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
because you think, oh, lovely bank holiday. Oh no, what do you mean street party? Oh God, there goes the bank holiday. And now you don't have a line because you're up at 7:15 making sodding lemon meringue pie.
Because we're having a street party. I'm not organising it, but then
you don't live in your street. Oh, you do now, don't you?
Well, I will be living in our street when it's the street party. But then our neighbouring street has invited my friend who's on the neighbouring street suggested to me that we join forces. So then I put that to my street. No one replied.
Oh no.
And then now my friend on the other street is like, how many people want to enter our cake competition from your street? And I'm like, oh God, I've got myself mixed up in something dreadful here. Because I think my street are just
new
thinking.
Phone, who dis?
Sorry, who is this?
Lost all my numbers. Just say it's Kenton. Lost all my numbers, don't know who any of you are. La 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 la. Broken.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. But I know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna be the only person from our street.
You're gonna be making cakes for your street, their street, everybody's street.
I'm gonna have to make tons of cakes and pretend they're from all of my street. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway. Whatever. That's the thing. Oh my God, I'm so tired. The
bank holidays,
result,
street parties,
bank holidays. You know, when you get to the lesson is
yes,
never involve yourself in any organisation of anything.
Yeah,
I wasn't even in the organisation. I just never. I just don't know why. I should have done exactly what you said.
If somebody puts you in a can they ask you if you want to be in a WhatsApp group? I mean, can you say no?
No.
That's not fair, is it?
Yeah, you do. I mean, you can remove yourself, but then that's rude,
but
isn't
that's
it?
Rude. That's much ruder than you immediately as you said, the first two buttons you press are join and mute. That's it. You don't need any other buttons.
I'm still in a WhatsApp group that was set up about 4 years ago for a book club that I've never been in. But I'm too embarrassed to say.
I'm in a company WhatsApp group and the company went bankrupt in 2002.
I'm just too embarrassed to leave the group. It's too awkward. It's so rude, isn't it? It's just,
they shouldn't just put you in without
No,
asking.
You're right. You're right. There should be a... Yeah, you're totally right.
But then it would say, would you like to give a reason? No, not really. Just don't want to
fake. It's awful.
I've got a life and I hate everybody. Go away.
I hate WhatsApp. Yeah. It basically rules my life and I hate it. It stresses me. But I don't have it. Like, I have to go into my WhatsApp to, because I can't bear to have it pinging at me. So.
Oh, I see.
I have to go into WhatsApp to check the messages.
Okay.
Which is a good thing, I think.
Yes. That's, I like, took everything off my phone and I can only get things on my computer. So
what?
So Twitter's on my computer and...
What about messages, though?
You
must be able to get text messages.
In work hours, the text messages come into my computer.
Wow.
So that's because cool. Otherwise... Jerry Seinfeld put it very well. He said, when someone rings you...
Yeah.
They're basically at work. You're at work and somebody comes and sits on the edge of your desk and shouts, I want to talk to you now. I want to talk to you now. I want to talk to you now. And you can't... You can't put up with that for too long before you crack an answer. Mm-hmm. And it has to be under your control. And this idea of the always on culture and always being available is really, really damaging. And you have to be able, you have to control it. And the way you can control it is by saying, when I am at work, I will answer these things. And that would be good. On a work thing. Yes.
Yes, that's good. It is about control, isn't it? Because as soon as you open your phone up, and there are people going, I need your attention.
Yeah, exactly.
I need you to answer this banal thing.
Or join look at this... my group.
Yeah.
Join my group. I've made a group. I put a picture on it and everything and an amusing name.
And also, sometimes you don't know who the hell it is because they've changed their name to like, I love unicorns that are multicoloured.
Yes.
And so you don't. Literally don't know who it is. Mm. But that's okay. I just answer them anyway. Sorry, what? Sorry, I died. Harriet died. Sorry.
Harriet left the group. Harriet had a spasm of guilt and rejoined the group.
Oh my God, I've got to send you this David Sedaris that I heard the other day. And it was about people who say passed instead of died, and it made me
I heard it. Yes,
really made me laugh. He seems so funny.
Oh, he's brilliant at talking about the things that make people squirm up with embarrassment. He's just
there were some really funny lines in that.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, right.
Yeah.
You go and get out of bed and into another one.
Yeah. And... No, I'm just going to go to bed now. Okay. I'm just going to basically.
Log out, roll over, and that's it. And I'm going to dance around the studio in my little silky shorts to the Rocky theme tune.
Before you put your lederhosen on.
Before I put my lederhosen
Fantastic.
On. Yeah.
Do do do.
Bye bye, everybody.
Do do do.
We love you long time, and we will see you next week.
Do do do. Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.